And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked my buddy, investigative reporter extraordinaire, Pat McShay, to come back on the program. Pat, welcome back.
Great to be with you, Jerry.
Now, we are going to be doing information overload. This is volume 23. It's so easy. Pat and I were talking off air, and we're laughing about it because all we have to do is read and keep our eyes open, and we notice so much garbage going on that we don't have to write a script. We don't have to do anything. We just talk about all the nonsense that's going on out there. The first one we started talking about was the financial impropriety going on at TPUSA. Pat, you want to expand on that?
Yeah, there's a guy on, several podcasters besides Candace Owens. There's a dozen podcasters talking about the murder of Charlie Kirk, but there's one guy that has been talking about all of the financial improprieties that he's found. And he said that TPUSA just looks like a big money laundering operation. And all of the churches that TPUSA is involved in are churches like the Calvary Temples that are all like John Hagee's church. They're all directed by Israel, basically. They're all Israel first. And, you know, he wonders where all this money's going. And then if you look at, you know, TPUSA is a nonprofit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of these people that work at TPUSA, the top people, they all live in these huge mansions. I don't know if you've seen a picture of Charlie Kirk's house in Scottsdale. Have you seen that?
No, but if he's in Scottsdale, he's in money.
Well, his house was valued at $5.5 million, and you ought to see it. People could pull it up. And this guy was living like a A-list movie star in Hollywood. And then if you look at some of these other people at TPUSA, like Tyler Boyer and Justin Strike, these guys all lived in mega mansions. And last year, they brought in about $85 million. And almost all of that money went out in expenses, huge salaries, private jets, first class airfare. Nobody there flies coach. It's all private jets and first class flights. So people should go on YouTube and just put in Charlie Kirk investigation and check out some of these videos, because I don't think for a second that if the guy that they have arrested, Tyler Robinson, if he was involved, I don't think he was the shooter. I think he was set up to take the fall as the patsy.
A lot like Lee Harvey. You know, I had Pastor Chuck Baldwin on not too long ago, and we talked about the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and he informed me that Robinson's dad was given like $1 million from Bibi Netanyahu to turn himself in.
Really?
That's what Pastor Chuck Baldwin said, and he did a ton of research before we did our show, and, you know, if that's the case, then I mean, if Lee Harvey was actually the shooter, then why was Jacob Rubenstein fetched to go eliminate Lee Harvey? Because Lee Harvey could have elicited some sympathy. And you find out that Charlie Kirk was summoned to the Hamptons to meet with a bunch of rich Jewish Zionists to talk about what he was doing and to ensure he was going to continue supporting Israel. And it was a bloodletting pretty much, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. There were about 30 people at that meeting, and it was described as more of an ambush than a planning session, which is what they told Charlie it was going to be. But there were people there screaming at him. Bill Ackman, Justin Hammer, Seth Dillon from the Babylon Bee, a lot of influential podcasters and donors. And yeah, the one guy pulled $2 million from Turning Point. And then apparently after Charlie was shot, he was okay with the donation after Charlie was shot. So
I think I read somewhere that he had met privately with Erica, Charlie's wife, widow, and they had a conversation, and then he reinstated the $2 million. So there's a lot of behind the scenes information that nobody is privy to unless you're a muckety muck at TPUSA and you know what the score was to begin with.
Yeah,
the fact that they're trying to say a .30-06 was used, and you know his head was still part of his body and not completely blown away. And then I saw Andy Ngo has posted that the conspiracy theorists are going to taint the trial for Tyler Robinson with all this hoo-ha.
Yeah, I typically like Andy Ngo, but when I saw that, you know, it's the same with Jack Posobiec. He's got a show that comes on after the Charlie Kirk show on Real America's Voice. And, you know, he's basically saying that Tyler Robinson did it and he acted alone. And just based on that, I don't trust Jack Posobiec as far as I could throw him anymore. And if people want to look up that, any of that information on the finances at Turning Point, it's called Wolves and Finance. So just put in Wolves and Finance, Charlie Kirk in YouTube, and you'll bring it up. He says that there's millions of dollars missing at Turning Point too. Up to 8 million. Missing. Wow. So there's something funny going on over there.
Sounds like it. Goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, we were talking before the recording of our show, and you mentioned that you had seen an article or something that mentioned 1,000 so-called Christian pastors made the pilgrimage to the Holy Land. They went to Israel. What nefarious purpose was behind that, Pat?
Well, a delegation of 1,000 U.S. Christian pastors and influencers. This was the largest group of American Christian leaders to visit Israel since 1948. So they arrived just in the last week as part of a Friends of Zion initiative, and the trip was organized in partnership with the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and it was designed to provide training and prepare participants to serve as unofficial ambassadors for Israel in their communities. Boy, so I wonder if all those Calvary ministers, I know that Pastor Rob McCoy, who claims that he was Charlie's pastor, even though he lived in Thousand Oaks, California, and Charlie lived in Scottsdale, Arizona. His son, Mikey McCoy, was Charlie's chief of staff. He just got back from Israel, so I assume he was over there for it. And these are all pastors, again, like John Hagee, that are sold out to Israel, and they are all the same guys that are making excuses in front of their congregations of why Israel has to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians and making excuses for this genocide, just like Mike Huckabee, our ambassador to Israel, who just met with Jonathan Pollard, an Israeli spy who spent 30 years in prison, and a lot of people thought he should have been executed, just like the Rosenbergs. But now he's in Israel, and he's running for office. He wants to be a part of the Israeli Knesset, which is, you know, their parliament. So, and he badmouths America. And Jonathan Pollard even said fairly recently that if America doesn't go along with everything Israel wants to do, that they should use their illegal nuclear arsenal against the United States. There's video of him saying that. So these are the kind of people that Mike Huckabee is meeting with. And Trump's fine with it. They asked Trump about it, and he said, yeah, he backs him, so Trump's okay with it. So I'll tell you, MAGA needs to be worried. I'm worried. And I question everything Trump's doing. He's sending $400 million more to Ukraine, and he's sending, close to $700 million more to Israel for their defense systems and missiles. This whole first year has all been about Israel. It's not been about America first. It's all been about Israel. They've made no arrests in Russiagate, and now this Arctic Frost, people that don't know about Arctic Frost, the Biden administration put hundreds of conservative influencers, anchors, podcasters, and politicians, including senators and congressmen, under surveillance, and nothing's being done about it.
Now, the DOJ has, they got a pro-Zionist in when Bondi was given the gig. It's so disturbing, I guess is the word that I want to say, to see how much Make Israel Great Again has usurped Make America Great Again. And you mentioned the $400 million going to Ukraine, and it's actually $630 on top of what we already sent to Israel. This is all part of the 2026 National Defense Authorization Act. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, not traitor, Marjorie Taylor Greene is actually exposing all this garbage that we're sending billions to the Middle East. What?
Yes, and
we can't even afford to take care of our own veterans, Pat. This is ridiculous.
You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene has turned out to be one of the best people in Congress. I didn't know what to make of her at first, but I'll tell you, she's more MAGA than Trump. And then you've got Bondi and Blanche, that Todd Blanche at the DOJ, they're as worthless as Cash Patel and John Ratcliffe over at the CIA. Do you really think, does anybody think that John Ratcliffe has a grasp on what's going on at the CIA? I doubt it. There is no law and order agenda, which is what we were promised. This has all been about Israel. There's no arrests. And Obama deported more illegals in his first year than Trump has. This all seems like planned theater while they implement the CBDC monetary system and the New World Order dictatorship. You know, we talked earlier about the CBDC. Marjorie Taylor Greene said Mike Johnson promised her and other conservatives that they were going to take that out of this new spending bill, and he did not. So now we're going to be fighting the CBDC. Trump says he's opposed to it, but is he really? I don't think we really know what Trump stands for.
I want to read a couple things for the listeners, Pat. This is from Marjorie Taylor Greene on her Twitter account. She wrote, "Remember when Canada froze the truckers, the Freedom Convoy, their bank accounts and crypto when they protested against vaccine mandates? This is Canada, yeah, not China. And that's what the government wants to do by passing this genius act that has a backdoor to push the central bank digital currency. They want to control your money. And I've talked about this before. They will have a social credit score. And if you yep. dip below that, just like what China has implemented, if you dip below a certain credit score, they will freeze your bank account and everything will be a digital currency. You won't have a check. You won't have cash. I mean, they've already started by phasing out the penny, but this is yeah. the nuttiness that is going on behind the scenes in Congress. But I want to read a quote from Thomas Jefferson in 1802. I'm not going to read the whole quote, but it says, quote, "I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that grow up will deprive the people of all property." Close quote. That's Thomas Jefferson in 1802. Pat, is that oh, yeah. what's going on with this CBDC garbage that's backdoored into the Genius Act?
Yeah, I think it is. And people that don't know what we're talking about, you know, Jerry is right. If you say don't take your vaccine, or if you put a tweet up that they don't like, they can shut your access to your bank accounts. You don't go along with the program. So if they're unsuccessful in getting rid of our free speech, they'll just find a way to punish us for our speech, our actions, everything that we do that doesn't go along with the new police state. That's where we're headed. People think that's impossible to think about in America, but the Democrats right now are trying to push through a color revolution. That's what this thing about these six Congress people, you know, bashing Trump over telling the military not to follow his orders. Don't follow the military orders that you feel, you know, aren't legal. That's all part of it. Once they delegitimize everything that the president says or the Congress says, then it gives them a reason to rise up and start refusing orders and refusing laws, which is what they do now. The Biden administration just threw out all of the immigration laws so they could bring in 15 or 20 million illegals to bust the system. And now Trump, he can't even get these people out. I wonder how hard he's really trying, honestly.
You have to wonder. It's funny, you mentioned the seditious six, as they've been labeled, telling the yeah. military not to follow orders from their commander-in-chief if they, being the military officers, deem these orders to be illegal. Now, there's already a standing law in the military that illegal orders will not be followed. It's in the military code of conduct. But
right.
If credible intelligence says that these boats coming from Venezuela are loaded down with narcotics, then they are a clear and present danger to this country, and you can take them out. Okay. Now, and I noticed that you had tweeted something about this, there is some information that's starting to come to light concerning Adam Schiff, Shifty Shift, and gifts
right.
and money that have been funneled from Venezuela to members of our Congress.
I saw that today, and if that's true, those people should go straight to jail, be charged with treason, and be sent to prison for long stretches, but really get investigated.
That's,
you know, they're not even doing anything about Arctic Frost or Russiagate or any of that.
Hunter's laptop, none of that.
Hunter's laptop? How about Huma Abedin's laptop? They said there was enough stuff on that laptop of Huma to put the Clintons in prison for the rest of their lives. The FBI still has that laptop. So it's clear. These people at the top are all protected, and they are above the law. You cannot say that these people aren't above the law. They've got all the information, all the evidence they need to put these people in prison, and the people will never find out what's in those laptops.
You know, the corruption in D.C., Trump, his first term, he ran on draining the swamp. He was going to clear out all the riffraff from the swamp. But he's a swamp rat just the same as everybody else that's kind of been taken over in the Beltway, inside the Beltway.
You know, Trump thinks at this point that he is so powerful that he can just toss aside a MAGA stalwart like Marjorie Taylor Greene and not have any consequences. I disagree with him. I think he's done this to a few people that were MAGA stalwarts, and I think it's gonna bite him in the next election. These people are mad. They're angry that he's treating her like this. And a lot of these people in Congress and Senate are probably thinking, who's next? You know, I can't even say what is on my mind without Trump taking the Truth Social and bad-mouthing me. I mean, I think it's real crazy.
You know, Thomas Massie, probably one of the few good guys, if you can say that, in Congress. He's done some squirrely stuff in the past, and I'm not exonerating Thomas Massie, but his stand against kowtowing to Israel has led Trump to support whoever's going to run against him. AIPAC, I think Massie is one of the few who has never taken money from AIPAC, and if his campaign did, they refunded it.
Because yeah, no, they haven't. Neither of Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Because Massie is, number one, Massie is for his district, then he is for his state, and then he is for the United States. And he works for his constituents.
Yes.
Unlike all these other Congress people, Ted Cruz, John Cornyn.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Trump made a statement that Marjorie Taylor Greene got out of the race because she's afraid she'll lose now that he's not going to endorse her. But frankly, I think she would win just as big, if not bigger, because I think the people down there, and I've read a lot of comments about it from her constituents, and I think they back her, not Trump.
I wouldn't be surprised. Trump pulled this same shenanigan his first term, and here we are, part duh, and he, you're right. He seems to think that he is the smartest guy in the room and that he's got plenipotentiary powers that nobody else has and he can do whatever. But nothing, it seems like, that he's doing is benefiting this nation more so than Israel. And that's the part that aggravates me the most. I think he's done some good things, but he's reverting back to where he was the first term.
Yeah.
He's doing as much damage to this country as he did the first term. And then that opened the door for Biden. And if his squabble with certain members of Congress and his departure from the MAGA agenda that he championed leads to a total whitewash of the House and the Senate in the midterms that are coming up, what is he going to be able to get done after that? Nothing. And they're going to impeach trials. And I know there are a number of people that want to impeach Trump. What good is that?
Yeah.
What good is that going to do? Nothing. You'll have J.D. Vance in there. Is J.D. going to be pro-Israel or pro-America? Is the reason they want to impeach Trump is because now the Democrats have turned against the nation of Israel? I don't know, Pat. There's so many different spider webs and layers involved with all of the muckety-muck going on inside the Beltway that who do you trust?
J.D. Vance scares me with his relationship to Peter Thiel, and I just don't know whether to trust that guy either. So I don't think he's as sold out on Israel as Trump is, but I don't know for sure. We've got to get away from Israel. We just have to. I think that in the future, running as a friend of Israel is not going to be as popular as it once was. And Ted Cruz, look at his arguments with Tucker Carlson and that sit down interview that Tucker had with Ted Cruz. Cruz just made a fool of himself. And now he attacks Tucker Carlson almost every single day on Twitter. It's like he's obsessed. It's really kind of sick.
He stepped in it big time, and he showed that his so-called Christianity isn't really Christianity. It is pro-Zionist, and he exposed himself, and Tucker just gave him the avenue to do it. This blind, enamored support of this terrorist state, and I'm going to say terrorist state of Israel, it needs to stop. Netanyahu recently said they were going to begin the second phase of the ceasefire in Gaza. Were you aware that there was a ceasefire at all, Pat?
No, because I follow Middle Eastern news every day, and I read Mondo Vice, if you're familiar with that. Mm. I read a lot of Israeli newspapers, Haaretz, and I'm just here to tell people that Israel violated this ceasefire immediately after it was struck, and they have violated it every single day since. They are still bombing and murdering Palestinians in the West Bank, and they are still bombing in southern Lebanon and Syria. They cannot stop killing people in the Middle East. And, of course, the media hasn't reported on any of this stuff. So, for the most part, people just don't have a clue. They think Israel is abiding by this ceasefire and everything's going great. The Abraham Accords are going to take care of everything. And it's just nonsense.
100%.
Pie in the sky.
100%, Pat. Well, we have flown through 30 minutes. Pat and I are going to have to take a brief pause. When we come back, we're going to dive right back in. We're covering Information Overload, volume number 23. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Vaccine danger, quackery, and sin. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I have to tell you about this outstanding book that Edward Henry has put together for us. It is over 1,100 pages. This book will reveal the most significant medical fraud in history. The theory that you can prevent illness by injecting poisons into the bodies of healthy people is dangerous quackery and sin. All true science has proven the practice of vaccination to be ineffective and unsafe. But the medical establishment has been lured into the superstitious practice hook, line, and sinker. It is not merely a matter of ignorance that the debilitating practice flourishes. It is, at its core, being promoted by those who know it is unsafe and ineffective. There is a malevolent spirit behind this practice. It is part of a conspiracy against God and man. Most doctors are probably unwitting, but some are willing minions of that old serpent, Satan, who are quite happy to kill people for profit. Jesus describes such men in John 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. 1,118 pages. This is a massive book, and it is full of vital information, given the backstory and everything on these dangerous jabs. We're only asking $44. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $50 for vaccine danger. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart by going to powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for vaccine danger right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, your address, your charge card, select your shipping method, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pat McShay. Pat, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here, Gary.
Now, for those of you who are on Twitter, or X, excuse me, sorry, Elon, if you're on X, Pat can be found at J_McShay, McShay. He is a good follow for information, for news. Pat, you're probably being blacklisted again, so you probably have to go onto Pat's profile and look him up to find out what he's actually posting, right?
Yeah. I post a lot of good stuff, a lot of good stuff.
And I know you've been banned multiple times. You're a bad man, Pat.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things, there are a couple cases that are before the Supreme Court. There's one that I can't wait to get to, talking about the idiocy of DEI. But the first one I want to talk about is the Amish were being fined for not vaccinating their kids in schools But they fought that fine, didn't they?
Yeah, so a lower court in New York State had ruled against the Amish and was going to force them to either vaccinate their kids or they were going to shut down the schools. They started fining these schools $40,000 to $60,000 each. And these are small schools that could not pay those substantial fines. But just on Monday, this Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court reversed that lower court decision, sweeping, you know, getting rid of these sweeping school vaccine mandates. And they, at the center of the case was just this disturbing campaign by these New York officials that were trying to bankrupt these Amish schools. And they intimidate the parents. They shut down all religious exemption. And the court reinstated their exemptions. So, which, you know, during COVID, they weren't honoring any religious exemptions.
I'm glad you mentioned COVID and the Amish. I was lucky enough that Paul Wittenberger came and interviewed me for his COVID Land series. I didn't make the cut, which is fine by me. I was blessed that Paul thought enough of what I had done as far as research and reporting on the COVID scamdemic. But the one comment I made to Paul, and he was taken aback by it, was, are you aware that the Amish haven't got COVID? And he said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, they don't have TV or radio. They're not buying the lie. And he looked at me dumbfounded, and he went, you're right. How many Amish people died from the Rona? None.
Yeah.
They could get the flu, but they didn't die from the Rona because they weren't buying the garbage. So the fact that the state was mandating this jab for these schools and for the kids to be jabbed 100-some-odd times before they could go to school is ludicrous. Yeah.
Well, and Amish don't get autism either.
Amazing, right?
Yeah. They're not dying of sudden infant death syndrome either. So, shaken baby syndrome, they don't have it either.
Maybe Andrew Wakefield was right when he did his vax video where he said, well, all I did was question, do we need to do the MMR jab in these children multiple times? Why not space it out? Maybe this is causing autism. And
he
put out the numbers of the number of autistic cases and food allergies at that time when they started mandating this MMR jab in these kids at 6 months, at 9 months, at 12 months, at 18 months, whatever the schedule is. And all of a sudden, you can't go into a restaurant without being smacked in the face with, well, do you have any food allergies? Do you have any peanut allergies? We didn't have that back in my day, Pat. It wasn't until they started mandating all of these jabs, and who benefited? Cui bono, who benefited? Big Pharma.
Right.
Big Pharma benefited from this.
Well, you know, in 1986, Reagan signed that, you know, taking away any responsibility from the vaccine makers. That needs to be changed. Just make it so people, if the vaccines work, what's the difference if little Johnny doesn't get vaccinated? If the vaccines work, it shouldn't make one bit of difference.
The one thing that nobody ever talked about except me, you, a few others, what about natural immunity? That's how we've beaten so many of these bugs in the past, is our body that God gave us does such a great job at fighting these viruses off that we build our own immunity to them, and we get better.
Right.
It's crazy, Pat. It's stupid. And you're right. That bill that Reagan signed needs to be canned, 86th, and done away with. And Big Pharma needs to be held responsible for doing the damage that they're doing to American people. There's another case before the Supreme Court, and it is called, I think, Trump versus Slaughter. And Trump is arguing that as the executive in the executive branch, he should have the right to hire and fire staff as he deems fit. But
right.
The DEI-appointed judge, Ketanji Brown Jackson, has questioned whether Trump or any president should have the ability or the authority to remove her so-called experts from certain fields. These experts have no voter accountability, do they, Pat?
None whatsoever. And you know, that argument that she's making is just ludicrous. And they had oral arguments on that just in the last week. And it looks like the Supreme Court is going to allow Trump to fire anybody he wants to. And these directors that are in place, when a new president comes in, are not going to be guaranteed employment in the new administration. And that's the way it should be. When Obama took office, he fired everybody. And no one said a word. Do you remember the media getting upset about that?
Not in the least, Pat. Not in the least.
Not in the least. That was Trump's biggest problem in his first administration. He didn't get rid of enough of the deep state people that he claimed he was going to get rid of. And, you know, you look at the same thing is going on now. He's got all these people at the FBI. The guy that was in charge of the January 6th op, the guy that was in charge of the raid at Mar-a-Lago, they're still with the FBI and have been promoted. You've got all these different prosecutors at the DOJ that were involved in going after the J6 guys who still work at the DOJ. I mean, you can't tell me that they can't find people to replace them. It's just mind-boggling. And I think Pam Bondi and I think Todd Blanche, who's her deputy prosecutor, they should both be fired yesterday. I don't know. Trump keeps saying, well, Pam's doing a great job. I don't think Trump knows what a great job is.
You know, a lot of people don't realize the president only sees what his top-level advisors put in front of him. He doesn't have the ability, the time, to look at every item. And they are easily swayed, and Trump obviously has been swayed by some of the leadership in the White House to do what he has done, and he's blinded by what Blondie and the entire DOJ.
How about Susie Wiles? I wrote about her right after Trump appointed her, and I said, why would he pick someone that used to work for Bibi Netanyahu in Israel?
Right.
And what is she stopping or putting a kibosh on? Who is she keeping Trump from meeting with? You know, she sets the agenda at the White House, in the Oval Office. Are there people that are trying to get in and talk to Trump? That, you know, I've read a bunch of people that said, I used to talk to Trump all the time. I can't get in to see him, and I can't get him on the phone anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. So they've got him in a bubble.
And that's the problem with that office.
His
decisions are influenced by people that he has put his trust in, and they have their own personal agenda. The system is flawed, much more so than we really take into account. And there's another system. It's coming out now. There's all kinds of reports about the fraud that's going on in Minnesota and whether Governor Walz was complicit in allowing it to happen. Well, or whether Ilhan Omar knew about all this fraud with the Somali community, just stealing millions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, now they're saying that they think that that's as high as $8 billion has been stolen.
And they're trying, I saw Bessant was on with one of the liberal pundits, and he said that's why we have an investigation. I wonder if Scott's going to get to the bottom of it, if they're actually going to trace this money back to whether it's the Muslim Brotherhood or whether it's Somalia and the government, the corrupt government of Somalia. It just, there's such a can of worms that they need to be open and transparent with the American people of what is going on in this investigation.
Well, they knew Obama, which Biden did too, was flying these illegals in on night flights and taking them to these different states like Texas and Minnesota, Georgia, and just dumping these people. My son's wife owned a house in a small Stone Mountain, Georgia, and they literally dumped hundreds of Africans that barely spoke English in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a small city that can't take care of hundreds of people, and they just were dumping them in these cities. And then Biden was doing the same thing, and Congress apparently couldn't stop it. I don't know. It's just hard to believe that these Democrats are doing stuff like that, but Trump can't get anything done.
Right.
Why weren't the Republicans filing suit every time Obama did something like that?
Right. Were they complicit? You have to wonder. It's crazy. Now, the New York Times used to be the paper of record. It had the greatest readership, and everybody thought the world of the New York Times. It's a fish wrap now. It's about worthless. But they are finally admitting that Zelensky has looted billions from the aid that this country, the American taxpayers, has sent to Ukraine.
Yeah, I've been writing about that for several years. It was reported 3 years ago that his top people all were driving Ferraris and were buying, homes in France and in Florida, and they were all taking luxury vacations every month. You know, they've been filtering that aid money since it started going over there.
And I remember the push. And there were Ukrainian flags. People couldn't even find it on a globe, Pat, or a map.
Oh, yeah.
But they had Ukraine flags in their yard. They were flying Ukraine. We support Zelensky. We support the Ukrainian people. It was a great big propaganda fluff piece, and we were fleeced once again. Speaking of being fleeced, the people in the United Kingdom, Pat, they are – what, they're being taken to the woodshed for any comments that are even touching the hate law line that Parliament has in place.
I just saw another story about a woman who was raped by an Afghan refugee, and she said something about him on social media. He was let off, by the way. They didn't prosecute him. And she said something that he didn't like. I mean, the police arrested her. They are arresting people who are being brutalized by these immigrants. And the whole system is turned on the indigenous population. You know, the people that live in Ireland, same thing. They are dumping hundreds of these Africans and Middle Eastern refugees in these little towns all across Ireland. And they can't do anything about it. The government, they protest, and the government arrests the protesters. So it's just unbelievable. And they're not arresting them when they commit crimes.
No, if you complain about it, if you post something on Facebook or Twitter or X, Instagram, if you document, if you write a letter to the editor, they're gonna knock on your door, they're gonna show up, they're gonna have handcuffs, and they're gonna take you away. Honestly, Pat, this country's not far behind, is it?
Well, no, I just saw that they're fining Elon Musk $144 million because he's allowing free speech on Twitter or X. So they think that they can just fine a business because they're accusing him of free speech. That's where we're at. Did anyone ever think that they would be arresting or fining people because they're wanting more free speech? It's insane. It's Orwellian.
Very much so. The hate speech, the groupthink, all these Orwellian terms are coming to pass today. I mean, you mentioned that the FBI showed up at this guy's house for something he posted on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw a video the other day. I posted on Twitter about a week ago. Three cops in SWAT gear came to this guy's door. He looked like he lived in a pretty nice neighborhood. And he was filming it all. And they said that they were there to talk to him about his anti-Israel posts on social media. And, of course, he wasn't intimidated and told him he wanted him to get off his property and said, get out of here. Good for him. But just the fact that in America, they are going to people's houses asking questions about their anti-Israel posts, I'm in trouble.
It's just ludicrous is the only word that comes to mind, Pat. It's...
Yeah.
It's such a violation of our constitutional rights.
We're so close to a police state in this country that people just don't know. And if Trump is impeached after losing the midterms, you know, I think stuff's going to hit the fan. We could have a color revolution. We could have violence in the streets. That could happen if the Democrats don't win. It's pretty obvious that the Democrats control the rioters.
Yeah.
They're like the brown shirts in Germany. You know, they control the agent provocateurs.
Well, they've got their pundits are in place in all of controlled media so they can continue to foment civil unrest. You know, we had talked about Peter Thiel and J.D. Vance being very good friends. Peter Thiel is in charge of Palantir, who was just given a government contract to gather information on people. And if you start to think about that, you mentioned the fact that during the Charlie Kirk Memorial there in Arizona, there were planes flying above, were they gathering data off of the attendees?
Biplanes, yes, are, and they know that they've been doing this at other TPUSA events. But yeah, they're gathering all sorts of information. There were over 200,000 people at Charlie Kirk's memorial, and they were up there collecting data on everyone that was there. And then you mentioned Palantir, Tyler Robinson, who they're trying to pin Charlie Kirk's murder on. They keep telling us that they found his gun in a bush. What they aren't telling people is it was found in a bush in the backyard of a house that's owned by Palantir. Why aren't they telling us that?
Huh.
Must be a big secret.
Well, being the conspiracy scientist that I am, Pat, I wonder if they didn't plan it.
Right, right.
Because there's no way that a bullet stayed under Charlie Kirk's skin coming out of a .30-06 rifle.
From 140 feet, a .30-06 bullet traveling 2,500 miles an hour. And I was listening to one guy, a former Navy SEAL sniper, and he said .30-06 bullets go through 3/4-inch steel plate like butter, like it's going through butter. So we're supposed to believe that a magic bullet was stopped by Charlie's neck bone? I don't think so. Another guy said a 30-06 from that distance probably would have come close to taking his entire head off. So we're just being fed garbage. And as long as the news media continues to feed us garbage, the majority of people do not have time to research this stuff. And that's a problem.
They don't have time, or they don't have the wherewithal, the gumption to do the digging, Pat.
Right. That's why people should get on not just my Twitter page. There are a lot of good people out there, but I post everything that you're not going to see on Fox News. I post everything that they refuse to talk about. And I'll tell you, you can really tell where some of these people are just by watching this whole Candace Owens investigation, seeing these Israel First people come out of the woodwork. These people are a hateful group. Think about it. Tucker Carlson. All Tucker Carlson said was he didn't want to spend any more of American taxpayer dollars on Israel's wars, and he did not go along with the genocide of these poor Palestinian people. And for that, every single Jew or Jewish influencer, podcaster, politician came out of the woodwork and has attacked him every day since. That's 3 months ago.
You know, the phrase that they like to use, Pat, is anti-Semite.
Yeah, which, you know, is just ridiculous. And it's been used so much that people are sick of hearing about it. They don't want to hear it. No one buys it anymore. They need to come up with something else because people don't care about it. So I don't care about it. I've been called an anti-Semite since I started writing. So truth is truth. I had an article I titled, "The Truth is Not, It Should Never Be Illegal." Anti-Semitism should never be illegal if you're telling the truth about it. So that's what we've got going on. They're trying to make everything illegal.
Exactly. The truth should not need to be defended. Although in the trial with Ernst Sundell, we find out that the judge says truth is not a defense. That's what they would have you believe, Pat. But each and every month I've had Pat come on and we've discussed a number of hot topic items that are in the news at this time. And we are not going to go quietly into that. Good night. Pat and I will continue to openly discuss all of the nefarious activities that are going on throughout our country, our political system. Pat, we don't hold anything back. We're going to get after it, and we're going to keep telling the truth. And I want to thank you for coming on and being a guest of Power Prophecy again, brother. I appreciate you so much.
It's always a pleasure, Jerry. Thanks.
That's going to take care of this week's program. My guest today has been Pat McShay. You can find him on Twitter at J_McShay. Give Pat a follow. You won't regret it. Thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.